Welcome to Today on Broadway for Thursday, February 16th, 2017. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway star's James Marino.
James, I'm really trying not to draw comparisons here, but last night, just shortly before we started recording, the great and wonderful Elizabeth Vincitelli tweeted, "Hillary Clinton is at Sunset Boulevard. House went bananas." I'm sure there are some sort of metaphors there between her and Glenn Close and maybe even Norma Desmond, but they're probably not all that flattering, so I'm just going to ignore them. But I love the fact that Hillary, now without really anything to run for, has become like that lady who just hangs out at every Broadway show and tries to get tickets to everything.
I aspire to be that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you go to everything already, but, you know, it would be nice to not have anything else, really. You know, go take long walks in the woods and take some selfies with people you run into, but good for Hillary. Hey, man, I'd vote for her as, like, the new president of the wing or something. I mean, you know, Charlotte, who's there? Charlotte...
St. Martin,
yeah. I mean, hey, yeah. Sorry, her term's got to be up at some point.
The league. At the league, yeah. Not the wing.
Oh, yeah. She's at the league. Yeah. So, you know,
Hillary
for everything.
Well, last time Sunset was on Broadway is like 94. I mean, Bill was
Clinton's
president.
All over the place.
Bill was president. Economy was doing great. You know, Russia knew to keep their tankers over on their side.
Off the coast of Connecticut.
Connecticut. Those people in Greenwich are sweating a storm. Let's start off with The Great Comet Finds Its Next Pierre.
Yesterday, with a very dramatic video, kind of reminiscent of Birdman, Natasha Pierre in The Great Comet of 1812 announced the star that would be replacing Josh Groban when his run as the accordion-playing Russian ends this summer. And the new Pierre will be none other than Hamilton star Okarite Anatawan.
Hercules Mulligan!
Yes, that's him. Oak will
I put my arms up. I guess you couldn't see that, could you? I put
I
my
can't.
Arms way up.
Okay. We record on Skype, but voice only. But Oak will begin smashing the role on July 3rd and is currently committed to the role until September 4th, so just 2 months. However, this casting means that he will no longer be continuing with the stage adaptation of Disney's Frozen, for which he played Kristoff in the most recent developmental lab. Frozen, as you probably know, begins its pre-Broadway engagement in Denver in August. James, this casting has been extremely divisive online, with many people praising the show's continued colorblind casting and happy that Oak will be effectively leading a Broadway show after they fell in love with him in Hamilton. But a lot of other people think that not replacing Groban with a bigger name might end up hurting the show's bottom line. And I saw somebody the venerable Broadway World message boards say, "This is a really creative way to announce your closing date." I'm not sure that I agree. Yeah, I'm not sure that I agree. You and I exchanged emails like literally within seconds of this announcement, this press release being sent out. But at first, James, you initially thought that the casting was a bit of a misread as to who was buying tickets for this show.
Yeah. Now, we have to start off with saying that I think Oak is an amazing talent.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
The second part is that I don't think anybody is going to buy a ticket because Oak is in this role. There'll be a handful of Hamilton fans, handful of Oak fans that do that, but it's not going to carry it the way that Josh Groban carried the ticket sales here.
Absolutely.
And I mean, a musical based on War and Peace, I mean, outside of these insane times that we're going through right now, if we, you know, sat down in a room and said, "Okay, I've got a musical based on War and Peace," people would laugh you out of the room. So I don't know if it's going to have enough momentum to carry it unless it totally cleans up at the Tony Awards.
Well, what I told you after you said that, as I said, to me, this is an acknowledgement of the fact that the producers of this show understand that there is no chance they will find somebody of the same stature to replace Josh Groban. I think people kind of, you know, were suspect of whether or not Groban had the star power to carry a Broadway show before this. And I think that question has been asked and answered, as he is clearly a huge draw for many people willing to buy Broadway tickets. I think this is an acknowledgement that they're not going to find somebody of his stature to replace him. So what I think they're doing is trying to veer a little bit off to the left and find somebody that can burrow into their own niche. Now, again, Oak is only doing the show for 2 months. I would imagine that in addition to just the normal people that might be wanting to buy tickets to this show during the summer months, after presumably whether or not they win, they're going to get a large number of Tony nominations. So there's going to be a decent amount of people that are going to come to this show anyway during those 2 months. So if they can siphon off some Hamilton fans, maybe some people who love the cast album but can't get tickets, and get them to come, I think it's next door, right? Isn't it just next door to the Richard Rogers?
Yeah,
across the street. So maybe they can get some people there. And I think, James, what this might tell us is that whenever the original cast members do leave, maybe they'll try to find a star in one of the other roles, because this is not a show that is a one person vehicle. So maybe they'll try to cast some other people as, when Danae Benton leaves, or when some of the other people leave, maybe they'll try to bring in a star in those roles instead.
Yeah, that's what I had supposed as well, as that maybe they'll bring in somebody else. And it's a very strange contract to be a few months so short. So maybe there is something in the works for the fall already, and this is just the setup.
Yeah, it is very odd to announce a replacement for just 2 months. Maybe Oak has something going on in the fall that we don't know about yet. Maybe it's a movie he's got to shoot or something. Maybe he's got a new show he's going to do somewhere. But that was interesting, especially when you realize that it precludes him from continuing with Frozen. Now, that doesn't mean that he was ever offered the opportunity to contend with or to continue with Frozen. We don't know that. Nobody from the labs has been announced to be continuing to Denver and then to Broadway. But it's just interesting that that short amount of time doesn't seem to have a specific reason for that September 4th end date.
Okay, let me throw something out there.
Throw away.
So the role of Anatoly is like this amazing blonde hair, blue eyed,
right?
Very good.
Natasha's love interest. Yes.
Yeah. Great singer, things like that. You know, maybe the Biebs will come do it.
I knew you were either going there or a Jonas Brother. Like, I knew that
Jonas
exactly
Brother.
Where
that'd
you
be
going.
That might be better. Jonas Brother might actually work.
Yeah, Nick actually has Broadway experience. But, I mean, please, God, don't unleash Bieber on Broadway. Please don't.
Maybe they'll put Joey Fat One in.
Stop. He would be a great Pierre, though.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah, he would. Anyway, all right. So let's – if you've got dream casting for any role in the Natasha Pierre in The Great Comet of 1812, tweet us at Broadway Radio. Don't leave it in the iTunes reviews, or James will get mad at you. As far as I'm concerned, you can leave whatever you want there. I don't look at them. So,
excuse me. All right. Stars join Laura Linney and Cynthia Nixon in The Little Foxes Revival.
Yeah, yesterday, Manhattan Theater Club's Lynn Meadow and Barry Grove announced that Oscar nominee Michael McKean and Emmy winner Richard Thomas would be joining Laura Linney and Cynthia Nixon in the Broadway revival of Lillian Hellman's classic The Little Foxes. Daniel Sullivan directs the show, which begins rehearsals yesterday. In the show, Linney and Nixon will alternate the roles of Regina and Bertie, all, you know, traditional True West Frankenstein style. Performances begin at the Samuel J. Friedman Theater on March 29th. Also joining the cast are Darren Goldstein, David Alford, Michael Benz, Caroline Stephanie Clay, Lila Porter Follows, and Charles Turner. James, Michael McKean and Richard Thomas are both awesome. Laura Linney and Cynthia Nixon are equally, if not even more awesome. So with this alternate casting thing already in the works, we already knew about this. You throw these two guys in there, and I think this is shaping up to be a really, really fun show in the spring.
Is this the first time we're hearing about this?
This is the up until yesterday, the only casting that we knew were Linney and Nixon.
Didn't I make a Richard Thomas joke a few months ago? Good night, John
Boyd. You did, but You did, but that was about something unrelated. He's been doing a lot of other stuff. I believe, if memory serves correctly, that was when he was the final performer at White Rabbit, Red Rabbit.
You're right. So I can't reuse that joke.
You can use it. Absolutely. You're a dad. You can reuse whatever jokes you want.
You know, the guys over at Broadwasted, they do really good dad jokes, too.
They like dad jokes, yeah.
All right, let's move forward. The Prince of Egypt musical to play California and, of course, Denmark.
Yeah, something's rotten there. Anyway, James, do you remember last fall when the Bay Street Theater was forced to cancel its plans to host a developmental concert of the stage adaptation of the animated movie musical The Prince of Egypt because their cast was, frankly, nearly as white as me? Well, that show has apparently rebounded and will have its world premiere later this year in a co-production between TheaterWorks Silicon Valley and Denmark's Fredericia Theater. If my French is awful, my Danish is even worse. Anyway, the Philip Lesebnik and Stephen Schwartz musical will have its world premiere in Los Altos Hills, California from October 6th through November 5th and will then travel to Denmark beginning on April 6th of 2018. The 1998 DreamWorks film featured the vocal talents of Val Kilmer, who would actually, tangentially, go on to play Moses again 6 years later, this time in 2004's Los Angeles production of the Ten Commandments, the musical. There's a DVD of this, if you don't believe me, which also featured Luba Mason. I think Luba's been on Broadway radio before, hasn't she? Yeah. It also featured Lauren Kennedy as Nefertari, Adam Lambert as Joshua, a Broadway Hair alum, and a recent voice champion, Allison Porter as Miriam, and more. That really has absolutely zero bearing on this story, but I found it interesting. This is one of those musicals, kind of like Anastasia, that's coming to Broadway this year, that because it's not Disney, it's DreamWorks, a lot of people thought, man, this is something that should come to Broadway and probably would have if it had been Disney a little earlier. So another Stephen Schwartz musical out in the world, as far as I'm concerned, is always a good thing.
Oh, may the Schwartz be with you. Let's see what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. So it's going to play Silicon Valley and Denmark. Did they change the composure of the cast?
There's no cast that's been announced as of yet. It will be directed by, is it Scott Schwartz? Is that the director from Bay Street who was originally going to do the concert? He will continue with that as well. But no casting has been announced. The cast that was originally announced for the concert that was canceled, that was always only supposed to be for the developmental concert. That was not supposed to be for any actual stage productions. And they acknowledged that even before the whole controversy came up. So I would imagine that after that dust up last fall, that the cast that is eventually announced for California and or Denmark will be slightly more racially appropriate.
Because it's easier to cast in Denmark?
I don't know if the California cast will travel or not. I don't know. That has not been announced, but I think they are probably on notice now that that is something that people are expecting and will hold their feet to the fire to get.
So maybe Bieber can do that one as well.
All right.
Here's something that we talked about hopefully happening. Ruben Santiago Hudson looking to transfer Chitney.
Yeah, in an AOL Build interview, I forgot what AOL even was now. But anyway, in an AOL Build interview with our friend Laura Hayward, a.k.a. Broadway Girl NYC, director Ruben Santiago Hudson said that he was hoping to find another life for his Broadway premiere production of August Wilson's Jitney after its MCC limited run ends on March 12th. Since MCC is a subscription house, Jitney must close so the theater can prepare for the aforementioned Little Foxes revival. However, the show has been met with resounding critical praise, and Santiago Hudson says that it is too important of a show to not attempt to keep it alive. He told Laura, quote, "My mission now is to make sure that we do have life, to find a way to continue and to be able to share this with as many people as possible. With the success of Fences, and I think there's going to be quite a few golden statues coming the way of that film here in the next few weeks, I think that would be a great thing if they can find a house. But James, as you know, we always talk about there just ain't no space. So if they can find a theater, more power to them. Perhaps maybe it goes somewhere off Broadway. I don't know. But I think if they can keep this show running after the reviews it's had, I think that would be a positive thing for the entire New York theater community.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe they would stay there and put Little Foxes somewhere else, but that really can't happen. They're just, just a traffic jam. Oh, it's rush hour in Times Square, isn't it now? All right. New York Pops to honor Kelly O'Hara and Bartlett Sher.
Yes, James, get your tickets now, because on May 1st, the New York Pops will celebrate its 34th birthday with a gala honoring Tony winners Kelly O'Hara and Broadway radio friend Bartlett Sher. The concert will celebrate the multi-year partnership between the two and will bring together artists from the stage and screen to honor them. The concert is scheduled to begin at 7 p.m. at Carnegie Hall and will feature performances from Danny Burstein, who worked with the pair in South Pacific, Ruthie Ann Miles, who won a Tony alongside Kelly and Bart's King and I a few years ago, Laura Osnes, who replaced Kelly in South Pacific, and Paolo Cezat, Kelly's South Pacific co-star. The concert will also feature an original composition or two from Jason Robert Brown. Tickets range from $68 to $50,000 and can be purchased at www.newyorkpops.org. James, for the sake of your marriage, I would stay towards the $68 range rather than the $50,000 range.
Well, if I did not have a restraining order, I'd be putting down that American Express Black Card and getting two tickets for $50,000 on the NewYorkPops.org website. Little trivia about Bartlett and Kelly. Did you know that Kelly is the one that brought Bartlett into Bridges of Madison County?
I did not, but that does not surprise me in the least. I mean, they've had such a great partnership over the years, and that makes complete and utter sense.
Yeah, Kelly was already working with Jason on it, and she brought Bartlett in to meet with Jason. Bart talks about that in our interview with on Broadway Radio a few months back. Is it a year back or a few months? I forget.
It's been a while now. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So next up, the New York Times Culture Department debates the merits of La La Land.
Yes, if you listen to this podcast regularly, or if you listen to Some Like It Pop, you know that I had incredibly mixed feelings about Best Picture frontrunner La La Land. I enjoyed it, but ultimately didn't think that the sum was as good as the whole of its parts. Well, yesterday, those venerable minds over at the New York Times' culture department went through an article that listed the pros and cons of the film. Mike Abrams, the culture copy desk editor, Eric Pippenberg, the digital theater editor, Stephanie Goodman, the film editor, Brian Siebert, the dance critic, James Poniewozik, the TV critic, and more chipped in their two cents. Some said that the film was transporting, while others say that it doesn't really understand what makes musicals work. It's a really great article, and it's a fun read, something that you don't often see in the New York Times all that often, especially if, like me, you are happy and very grateful that the film is bringing musical movies a little bit more widespread credibility, but also thought that it actually wasn't that great of a film. Sorry, not sorry. Either way, it is definitely heading into the Oscar stretch with a sizable lead for Best Picture, and I don't think that that's actually possible to be caught. Like, I don't think anyone can catch up with La La Land. So it's good for musicals on stage and screen, but, you know, it was just aight for me.
So I haven't seen it yet, and a lot of my theater friends who work in the business and are big fans of theater are just like you. They're like, it wasn't great. It was okay. I don't get the big hype about it. And people who don't seem to be very close to the Broadway scene think it's wonderful. So I'm interested. I have to sit down and watch it and figure this out. But either way, it does seem like it's going to do very well at the Oscars.
Yep.
All right. So why don't you get us out of here?
Actually, James, before I do that, there's been some breaking-ish news that has come up just since we started recording. Apparently, Sarah Bareilles tweeted out that she's going to be doing a big announcement on the Today Show today. No idea what that might be, but if you've been paying attention to things, we already know that Jesse Mueller will be leaving the show But there was no breakdown or audition notice ever submitted for her replacement. So if you're putting two and two together, you might get four that they might be announcing a cast member to be taking over that role on the Today Show. So tune in. I don't know what time. She just tweeted it out. Tune in to NBC, that failing fake news network, to see whatever Sarah Bareilles has up her sleeve.
All right. Now get us out of here.
Okay. All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. You can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt and subscribe to Sound Like a Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. Our next episode comes out later today as Jen and I discuss Jane the Virgin, all of the Shondaland shows, and pop culture in the age of Donald Trump.
And my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. I'm holding out my arms in the shape of a V, like victory for Evita. But you can't see this. So we'll see you tomorrow.
It's not really a V. It's more, you know, at like a goalpost with hands turned backwards.
Ah, like the Australian rules football when they score?
Yes, and then they go down. Yeah, kind of similar to that. Yeah. They do the point thing.
What's the Venn diagram worth of
you? Yeah, I knew you were going there. That's your go-to now, is talking about Venn diagrams.
That's what I do every day, all day. I'm dying here.
Got our blooper reel.